There are many ways to lead a healthier lifestyle. You can eat better, exercise more, get enough sleep. Those things are all important. But hands down, I think one of the most important things you can do for your health is to stop smoking. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Cigarettes are electronic cigarettes are a common sight now, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're safe. Certainly want to talk about that, electronic cigarettes, and also the best ways to quit smoking of any kind with Dr. Mike Fiore. Mike is a professor of medicine, directs the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. And Dr. Mike Fiore, always great to talk with you. Thanks for coming by.
Larry, it's wonderful to be here with you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. You know, still a lot of smokers out there. How many smokers are there estimated in the U.S.? Do you know offhand?
Yeah. So if we ask for the number of smokers, it's about 45 million adult Americans smoke. That's a large number. And as you said earlier, Larry, we know that smoking is the leading preventable cause of illness and death for Americans. Far and away, the biggest risk in anybody's life. So if you're able to successfully quit, and I know we're going to be talking about that today, boy, what a wonderful gift to give to yourself and your family.
And we still have, you know, we're talking about nationwide 40-some million, but in Wisconsin we have a pretty good number too, as well.
Here in Wisconsin there are about 800,000 adult smokers. And to put that in some perspective, what that represents is about 18%, both here in Wisconsin and nationwide, a little less than one out of every five adults smoke. Now, those are big numbers, and we're going to talk about some of the risks, I know. But I want to just take a minute, though, and because this is a public health and a medical success story. Mm-hmm. Back when you and I were younger, Larry, in the 60s in particular, almost half of adults smoked.
Yeah.
And everybody smoked across the sociodemographic spectra. So we've gone from almost 50% of adult smoking now down to about 18%. Important progress, but still a ways to go.
Yeah, and there are so many good reasons to quit. And I think a lot of the people who smoke understand that.
Yeah, when we talk to people, upwards of 90% recognize that smoking is harmful. But the last Surgeon General's report that came out a year ago, this week actually, that summarized progress over the last 50 years, it pointed out some facts that we weren't aware of before. For example, it highlighted how much smoking impacts our immune system. You know, we think about cancer and heart disease and emphysema, but a big reason why smokers have so many more colds, flus, pneumonia, bronchitis, and why they unfortunately have to take so many more sick days is that tobacco and burnt tobacco, cigarettes, really does a number on our immune system. So one more reason that we need to think about quitting.
You know, I wonder about youth. Is the number of youth smoking going up, or is it going down?
Yeah, that too is a good news story, Larry. From the 1990s, when almost half of high school students were smoking, we're down to about 15% of high school students smoking. So it's only a third of what it was in the 1990s. So we've made progress, but I know one of the things we're going to be talking about today is that, unfortunately, a lot of high school kids, in some surveys, more high school kids now are using e-cigarettes than combusted cigarettes.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow. So that's a big number then.
It is a big number. I was recently talking with some colleagues in the state of Hawaii, and there, 12% of their high school kids report in the last month having used e-cigarettes Only about 8% of them reported using combustible cigarettes.
Oh. Dr. Mike Fiore, our guest today, talking with him today about quitting smoking, but also about e-cigarettes. What are they? Do they help with smoking cessation? Do we know anything about it? What about the health impacts of e-cigarettes? We're going to discuss that as well. And I hope you'll join in. If you have questions or comments, have you tried to quit? Have you tried e-cigarettes? The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and you can post your questions or your comments there. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And where there are going to be lots of callers coming on. Are there, you know, in terms of quitting, how many times, you know, most people do not quit probably the first time.
Yeah, you're right, Larry. We've recognized now that smoking is a chronic disease for most people addicted to tobacco. And, of course, most have got addicted as children. And the average individual takes between 4 and 5 attempts before they quit for good. Some quit on the first time. Some take up to 20 or more times. But what I tell folks who come to our clinic is, the fact that you're still working at it means you will succeed. And I want to, I know we're going to be talking a lot about e-cigarettes today, Larry, but I want to just focus in right at the start on three strategies for people who are thinking about quitting today. It's the New Year's. It's a great time for yourself and your family to think about quitting. I'm going to give you three resources that I want to highlight. The first is the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line. This is a free counseling service provided by the State Tobacco Control Funds, and anyone anywhere in our state can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, QUITNOW. What you'll get is a live counselor who will help you to develop a personalized quit plan. They will give you an 800 number to call back for extra help, and then they will mail you free of charge 2 weeks of either the nicotine patch, the nicotine lozenge, or the nicotine gum free of charge. So anyone anywhere in Wisconsin, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW and get help. Second strategy that people can use, because there's not a one-size-fits-all for all smokers. Go online to www.smokefree.gov. Smokefree.gov. That website opens you up to a whole menu of free quit smoking services that is brought to you by the National Cancer Institute. So it's all science-based. It's the best we know. So that's the second option.
Yeah,
I know
good
all
option.
Of these are going to all go up on your website, I know,
yes.
Larry.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third is to talk to your doctor, because we have new approaches to medicines, new approaches to counseling. Clinicians across Wisconsin are now better trained to help you. And your doctor will be your partner as you quit. So that's a third option. And for many people, using all three may be the best prescription.
Yeah, it's the wonderful resources there. You know, though, you know, we've mentioned a couple of times e-cigarettes, and we have every line is filled right now with callers. But let's go back to that for a minute. It was pretty new when we first, I think the last time you were on, it was relatively new, and they've since become very common. And maybe first, what are they, and then how do they work?
Yeah. All right. So first, what's a regular cigarette? A regular cigarette is basically rolled tobacco that is burnt. And when we burn tobacco, it actually generates, in addition to the tobacco and the nicotine that's in it, about 5,000 chemicals that are in inhaled tobacco smoke that is burnt. And of those 5,000 chemicals, about 50 are cancer-causing chemicals. And some of them really harm the heart, like carbon monoxide. Others like formaldehyde. There are so many bad actors. Arsenic is in there, ammonia. The list goes on and on. And that's why smoking is so deadly, the burning of tobacco. In contrast, e-cigarettes take nicotine, mix it with liquid flavorants and sometimes some other chemicals, and heat up that liquid so that a person inhales a vapor that includes nicotine, flavorants, and whatever other additives were added to it. So on at first blush, you would say, well, there are 5,000 chemicals in burnt tobacco. If e-cigarettes only include nicotine and water, then they're probably less dangerous. And that's probably right, that they are less dangerous. But there's a big difference between saying less dangerous and 100% safe. And we're going to be talking about youth, I know, in a couple minutes, Larry. But no matter what, e-cigarettes deliver nicotine. And for kids, nicotine is not a good thing to be exposed to.
And yet, and we are seeing, can anybody buy them? How young?
So every state differs. Unlike tobacco, where you have to be 18, e-cigarettes are not covered by most regulations because they're so new. And that's a challenge. And here's the challenge. I know we're going to be talking about three things about e-cigarettes. First, youth. Second, clean indoor air. And third, does it help us to quit? In terms of youth and adolescents and kids, their brains are very sensitive to nicotine. They're still developing. They're very elastic. And what we know is if you expose a junior high school or a high school kid to nicotine, they're an incredible risk of being addicted to nicotine for the rest of their lives. That's why the one thing that is not under dispute, and there's a lot of controversy around e-cigarettes, the one thing I think most agree to is no young people should be using e-cigarettes. It just doesn't make sense to expose the adolescent brain to an addictive substance that may lead them ultimately to a lifelong addiction to cigarettes and other forms of nicotine delivery.
So that is that's definitely you mentioned clean air.
Yeah. So just about 2 weeks ago, Madison joined a number of other cities and even a couple states now that say we do not allow smoking of any product inside enclosed environment. So if you're in a building, you can't smoke cigarettes, burnt cigarettes, but Madison extended it to include e-cigarettes. And this is actually a policy that's being recommended nationally. And here's why. It's one thing if I myself choose to smoke a cigarette or use an e-cigarette. It's another thing if you, Larry, who's just 3 feet from me, end up getting exposed to what I'm using. And we do know that secondhand e-cigarette vapor includes nicotine.
Oh, it does.
And that means that the people around me, if I'm using an e-cigarette, get exposed to that nicotine. You know, some might say, well, it's less dangerous than cigarette smoking. But in terms of our air and what we breathe, I think the criteria should not be less dangerous or less dirty. The criteria should be clean. And that's why the law is called a clean indoor air law. And it may be considered in the Wisconsin legislature that they would join some of the other states and say, we're going to expand our clean indoor air law to do what it says, and that is to guarantee clean air, not less dirty air.
Talking today with Dr. Mike Fiore, professor of medicine and director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Dr. Mike Fiore, as we give you an update on electronic cigarettes and some help with smoking cessation. And certainly looking forward to hearing what you have to say as well as we visit with Dr. Fiore. You can join in again at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's go to Thomas in Appleton. Now, Tom, thank you for waiting.
No problem. How are you doing today?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been a smoker since I was 13 years old, 36, so, you know, more than half of my life. I've tried every different way possible under the sun from, you know, doing the nicotine lozenges, the gum. I went to a group hypnosis. In the middle of the group hypnosis, the guy said, buy my tapes, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. I've done the e-cigarettes, and I personally am a big fan of them. You know, but I was listening to you guys talk, and you're talking about the clean air and how, you know, there's nicotine that's in the e-juice or the e-cigarette juice, and that would impede on somebody being 3 feet next to me. To me, I don't see how that really impedes, because, I mean, if that's the case, then someone's, you know, perfume or cologne could be an issue of clean air, because someone could be allergic to that, and then it's just a slippery slope. But I would love to be a non-smoker, and I tried the whole tobacco 1-800 quit now, and evidently it wasn't a success. I partially might have been on my end of not calling enough or what, but they were supposed to call me and never did. The talk to the doctor thing, I would love to be able to do that, but I think a lot of people have the issue as far as with insurance and the Obamacare issue, it being, it's okay if you have just insuring yourself, but if you're trying to insure like your mate along with it, it just makes it too pricey to be able to afford the insurance. What's your guys' feelings on this? I can take all this answers off there.
All right. Thanks, yeah. Thomas, for calling. Appreciate it. Dr. Mike?
Yeah. So, Tom, first, yeah, you know, I could hear it in your voice, the enormous struggle of trying and still haven't broke free. And the one thing I'd just say to you is don't give up, because you will succeed. So you mentioned that you've tried some of the medicines. You've tried e-cigarettes. You've tried hypnosis. You've even called the quit line. Thus far, you haven't succeeded, but I suspect that you have clearly learned some stuff, what helps and what doesn't help. And I'm going to give you some really a couple of very specific suggestions. But before I do, you know, you mentioned you started when you were 13. And what we've learned is that particularly people who get addicted really young, and 13 is surely very, very young, your brain, unfortunately, was chained as a result of you starting to smoke at that very young age. And this is not just some bad habit. This isn't weakness on your part. This is you dealing with a very powerful addiction that has resulted in physiological changes to your brain structure. So what would I recommend to you at this point? You know, you mentioned I would think about talking to a doctor. And if that means you need to maybe use some of the money that you will be using in the future for cigarettes, I would do that, because I think it's going to be money very well invested for you. We've found that some of the nicotine medicines, you mentioned the lozenge having used that, while they're effective, they tend to work much, much better if you combine two, and that is the nicotine patch. And for you, I would definitely start with a 21-milligram patch for at least a month, but then to buy what's called the nicotine mini lozenges. They look like little Tic Tacs, and they allow you to to turn to something other than a cigarette when you have a strong urge. So you pick a quit date, and you could call the quit line to help get reorganized. You can call a quit line as many times as you want, by the way. Set a quit date. You know, maybe even think about February 1st. Buy at least a month's worth of 21 milligram patches and a couple boxes of the 4 milligram nicotine mini lozenges. And on that day, taking advantage of the counseling through the quit line or through your doctor, start the 21 milligram patch and promise yourself that whenever you have an urge to smoke, you will put one of those 4 milligram mini lozenges in your mouth. That combination of the patch and the mini lozenge may be the ticket for you to get a handle on this, because what is happening and why you're not able to do this, I suspect it's complex. But one thing for sure is your body is so addicted to nicotine that you need to make sure you give yourself enough to overcome that urge that's forcing you back to having to smoke.
And good luck to you, Thomas. I appreciate your call, and I hope you're going to be able to be. That's great advice. And, of course, the advice you gave to him, someone else listening might need a little bit different advice.
Without a question. And there's not a one-size-fits-all. We have a lot of science to guide people. That's why we urge people to get on that smokefree.gov. By the way, Tom, you may want to go on that. That'll cost you nothing. It's free from the National Cancer Institute. The quit line, again, is available. And if you see your doctor, she may develop a personalized quit plan for you as well.
Mm. Josh in West Bend, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
Well, like the last caller, I started smoking when I was 14. And, you know, once again, I tried everything, the gum, patch, inhaler. I tried Chantix. That actually did work. I quit for a year, but then I had one cigarette and it just started all over again. And I was actually able to quit with the e-cigarettes. I'm currently still vaping the e-cigarettes. It's been about a year and a half. And something interesting, I know it's cross addiction, but I wasn't able to bring my e-cigarette with me when me and my wife had to, you know, go about an hour away from my house. And I started having an urge for, you know, nicotine. And I didn't think about stopping at a gas station. I didn't even think about a cigarette. All I was thinking about is my vaporizer. So I thought that was pretty cool. Another thing is I wasn't actually able to quit off those e-cigarettes that you get from the gas station, the disposable ones. What actually did it for me was a refillable ones called a mechanical mod. Those really helped me out. And the different flavoring definitely made it to where I didn't need that tobacco taste in my mouth either, like I did when I first started. So just wanted to share that.
Yeah. Well, Josh, first, it was really helpful for you to share that, and so many things you said I think are really important. So I want to just focus in now for a second on this notion of using e-cigarettes to quit combustible cigarettes or burnt tobacco. And we could say with some certainty now, Josh, that for you who was using no combustible tobacco, your risks are very much reduced. So you're doing a good thing for yourself and for your family. What you're doing is you're basically dealing with the addictive component of tobacco use without ingesting the 5,000 chemicals that are associated with combusting or burning tobacco. You also made a point about the fact that e-cigarettes are incredibly heterogeneous. As you said, you can go to the gas station and they've got all these pre-mixed ones. Blue is one brand. Enjoy is another. Mark IV is a new one from Philip Morris. So there's a whole lot of those out there. But then what a lot of people are doing, like you, are mixing your own, and you adjust the dose of nicotine and the flavorants in them. So a lot of people might then ask, well, why don't we just recommend e-cigarettes for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple reasons why I, as a physician, don't recommend e-cigarettes for everybody. The first is we know so little about them. They've been around for a couple years, and we've been, unfortunately, burnt a couple other times. When filter cigarettes came, everyone thought filters would protect us. When light and low tar cigarettes came, we thought that was going to be the answer. And the jury's still out about e-cigarettes. I think it's clear they're less dangerous, but are they safe? That's another issue.
Yeah.
Another reason that is the biggest concern I have as a person working in this field is Josh is an exception in that he has totally switched from combustible cigarettes to e-cigarettes. What the majority of e-cigarette users in America today are doing is using both. They're called dual users. So some of the time they're using combustible regular cigarettes. Some of the time they're using e-cigarettes. And in terms of the impact on them, that they're still getting all the dangers from the combustible cigarettes. So if you are going to use them, totally switch. Don't use both.
And Josh, thanks again for calling. I appreciate your call. Jerry in Milwaukee County, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Well, I just want to say a couple points here. I started smoking, like most kids, in the back of my parents' car with the windows rolled up, getting all that wonderful secondhand smoke. And so about 9 years old, I started smoking cigarettes. When I was 18, I went off west and started to fight forest fires. And when I started to fight forest fires, I noticed that I was unable to even move sometimes from the amount of smoke from the fire and then smoking a cigarette. It took me, I'm 40, and I finally quit this year. And I've only smoked one or two cigarettes a day for about 15 years. And I think what really helped me push it over the edge was just seeing the sheer amount of money, health issues that weren't terrible, but I was very active, but I couldn't quite do the things I really wanted to do. And that just kind of pushed me over the edge. So I quit. I didn't use anything, no patches, nothing, just decided I was going to stop. And I want to touch on one other point. I really am disappointed in the use of these e-cigarettes. My children never saw me smoke a cigarette, ever. And I'm just disappointed at how people just use them in a manner that my kids are asking me, what is that and what are they doing? And I find people should have a little more discretion with them. I've never used them personally, but it would be nice if people could have a little bit of discretion. And that's about all I have to say. Anybody can quit. If I can quit, anybody can quit. I know it's really hard. I understand that it's a physical addiction, but maybe try taking some other addictions out of your scenario, alcohol, food, whatever it may be. I think breaking down some of those other addictions can help relieve the stress of trying to quit.
Yeah. So, Jerry, really good to hear your perspective, and I want to pick up on a couple points because, you know, this show, we really try to keep very positive and try to give as much information as we can to the people out there who are still desperately struggling to break free of tobacco addiction. So the most important thing you said from my perspective, Jerry, is don't give up. You went from smoking every day to smoking just a couple cigarettes to now being entirely free of smoking. And that's a great model for people because you didn't give up and you were able to ultimately succeed in totally getting cigarettes out of your life. You also made the point that there's not a one-size-fits-all treatment. I'm not a purist about what people should use to quit. The only thing they should do is quit. And if you stand on your head and quit smoking, I'm going to be supporting you 100% in doing that. The last point, and it was so important, and you said it so passionately, we don't want another generation of young people here in Wisconsin or across the nation to become addicted to nicotine through e-cigarettes. And if all of these movie stars and sports heroes and if you go on the websites, you see them over and over again are publicly using e-cigarettes and making it appealing and sexy and hero-generating. What we end up having is doing exactly what we did in the 50s, the 60s, and 70s. People like you, Jerry, got addicted at that time, and now we're putting a new generation of young people at risk becoming addicted to nicotine by glamorizing and sexualizing and heroizing e-cigarettes. I think heroizing is a word I just made up, Larry. But in any case, we don't want our young people to be using these products. It just doesn't make sense.
And again, Jerry, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call. I want to give Nick in New Richmond a chance to join in the conversation. Nick, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I started smoking when I was 11, quit when I was 36. I quit for 12 years, and then I started smoking again. A cigar here and a cigar there, and pretty soon I was back to smoking. Then I went to the e-cig. I went to a mod, and that was about a year and a half ago now. And I started at the 2.4% nicotine in it. Now I'm down to 0.6, moving on to 0.3. Now, you can vape without nicotine, you know, just have the flavor. And I guess you're right. There's not enough information about it. But also, why make it an evil right out of the box just because we don't know? I know there should be caution, absolutely. But it's working for me. And I got my sister to buy her own mod to get away from smoking because she's tried the Chantix and all that other stuff and has had a terrible time. So she said, what's with the e-cig? So we set her up, and we'll see how that goes. Yeah. But as far as what's in an e-cig compared to a cigarette, I mean, it's hands down, an e-cig is, for me, much more enjoyable because I don't stink like an ashtray. I don't have that cough anymore. I don't have that burning in my lungs. It's and I'm actually cutting back more and more.
Yeah, yeah. So Nick, first of all, I commend you for doing it. I mean, you're working towards getting all of these products out of your life, and that is a goal that I totally support. I mean, your story is really a powerful one. Another person starting in their early teens, you started at age 11, you smoked till you were 36. The fact that you were off totally for 12 years is really powerful. That means you're going to ultimately succeed. And what you're doing with the e-cigarettes of gradually reducing your nicotine is, in essence, weaning your body off of it. And you're working towards the goal that everybody should work towards, and that is not having to use any of these products. That's the goal for everyone. Now, you said about let's not turn them into something evil, and that's not the goal, to turn them into something evil. The goal is to, you know, emphasize 3 points here today. One is we don't want kids using them. Two is we want clean indoor air, not less dirty indoor air. And then lastly, if you're going to try to quit, at least think about the treatments we know have evidence and are safe. And if you use e-cigarettes, don't use them along with combustible cigarettes and use them for as short a time as you need to use them to ultimately get off of everything. Big picture, that's what the recommendation is.
Nick, thanks a lot. And just to kind of go along with this, we had an email from Jennifer who smoked for over 30 years and was able to quit with Chantix and using an e-cig with no nicotine. She said, I ordered it from Blue Online. Once the Chantix helped me break the nicotine addiction, the non-nicotine e-cig helped me break the hand-to-mouth habit when driving or on the phone. It's been 2 years, and I'm finally free of all of it. Would you consider the non-nicotine e-cig as harmful to the environment and to others around me?
Yeah, well, Jennifer, that's a great story, and one I haven't heard before, and I wasn't even aware you could order non-nicotine Blue online. I know you could self-mix non-nicotine vape, but I didn't realize you could order it online. So to your very specific question, what you've done is the goal. You're off everything now. And you've come up with a way that you're able to do it. You pointed out that Chantix, or the chemical name of it is varenicline, along with combination nicotine replacement therapy, Chantix has been shown to be the most effective medicine we have. It's a medicine you need to use under the direction of a physician, but a helpful one. I don't know what's in these blue without nicotine, but the one thing I could say that I'm sure it is markedly less dangerous than burning tobacco.
Yeah, absolutely. We have Tona in Bayfield with a comment. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to ask a quick question. If the FDA knows that there's 5,000 chemicals, I understand that some of them just are naturally occurring, but it sure sounds like some of them are added to tobacco. Why don't they regulate that? And if it's just because it gives, people mm-hmm. a hook to say that they're harmful, it just seems grossly negligent on the part of the FDA not to make sure those things aren't in tobacco.
Yeah, so it's a great question. I mean, just imagine if we had another product in America that was killing 1,200 people every day. That's what cigarettes do. They kill 1,200 people every day in the United States, 500,000 every year. So why are they not banned? Well, they're not banned because there's a historic reason. Cigarettes have been around for as long as the country's been around. And there's a very powerful cigarette lobby, the tobacco industry, that spends a lot of money ensuring that they're not banned. What I think is a more realistic option, something that we may see over the next couple years, is that smoking will be so discouraged in terms of how they're regulated and how they're priced that we'll move forward and achieve even greater progress than we have thus far. You know, we started off, Larry, talking today about the fact that we've gone from about half of all adult Americans smoking to 18% today. I want to end on a positive note. I think it's in our lifetimes that we could actually eliminate cigarette use in America. That's the goal. With more ways to help people quit, with more efforts to prevent kids from starting, with more powerful laws that protect clean indoor air, I think that's in our grasp, and I commend everybody who's called and those who are listening. It's a great time to quit. Take advantage of the options we talked about.
Thanks again, Dr. Fiore, and we'll look forward to another visit. I wish we didn't have to have you back for these visits, to be perfectly honest. I wish we had it resolved. But until then, we hope to have you back. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Mike Fiore, professor of medicine, directs the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We've got all the information about the Quit Line and the other smokefree.gov website and some other information from Dr. Fiore. So I hope you'll do that if you didn't get it right away while we were talking. Coming up, another health issue. We're going to take a look at the link between asthma and sleep apnea. Do you have asthma? Do you have sleep apnea? Know somebody who does? Talking about it next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.